This is part one of our three-part actual play of Meg Baker's Cyrun.
Welcome to iPodcast Magic Missile, where we play games and talk geek. Broadcasting every week from the New River Valley in the beautiful mountains of Southwest Virginia, we bring you audio from some of the most exciting games, new and old. No actual wizard spells here, just actual play from great games. This is iPodcast Magic Missile.
This is Dave.
This is Blake.
This is Duncan.
This is Joanna.
And I am masquerading as Yanni.
So basically, the elevator pitch here is you are all amnesiac psychics, amnesiacs with sort of psychic powers, or each of you has a specific psychic power. You're going to wake up in a crash. We haven't quite figured out what the setting is going to be yet. I think a lot of that will probably be determined by the characters you build. It should be something vaguely modernish. Someone is chasing you. Someone is pursuing you. The game basically here is you're trying to figure out who you are and possibly achieve personal goals. You're going to have four questions. Those four questions are going to be sort of things that you want to find out about yourself. They'll be triggered by your appearance, what you have on you, the powers that you appear to have. Whoever answers their four questions first, I don't want to say wins, it ends the game. Okay? Mm. Now, the trick here is the questions and even what your powers are, how they work, what they can do, should be very open-ended to start, because you actually don't get to say what they are most of the time. Most of the time, it's actually the other players who will decide the answers to your questions. And so this is very much a game about discovery, about finding out who your character is and sort of playing to see what happens. That said, I'm going to sort of read through the character creation directives so that you guys can get an idea of what you're supposed to be doing. So, as a players, first of all, here are the principles. As a player, it's your job to create a runner you want to play, following the rules. Describe how your runner acts, say what your runner says. So, most of your narration should be in person, if you're okay with that. Allow other players to describe things about your runner's past. So, this is the sort of allowing, giving up full narrative control of your own character. Roll dice according to the rules and make up cool stuff. And that's the other thing is, so at various times during this, and a lot of it depends on where the dice end up on that sheet, it says who has first say. First say means that that person starts out the narration. They'll sort of flesh out a skeleton, and they also will, so like for instance, if you learn something about yourself, but you put a 4 or 5 in that box, the other players have the first say. So that means the other players will make decisions. They'll start to say what's going on. At that point, the GM or the player whose character it is can add detail if they want, as long as everyone's okay with it. But first say is the other player's. So most of the time, first say will either be the player. Like if you avoid injury, you describe how your character avoids injury. If you have first say on how you avoid injury. But anyone is always able to add detail, assuming everyone agrees on it at all times. So everyone's adding to the fiction, regardless of who's acting. If it says the GM has first say, that's me, and I will start out, but then you may want to suggest things and add detail. Everyone may want to suggest things and add detail, and as long as it seems reasonable and everyone's okay with it, again, I'm perfectly on board with that. All right, what's on the table? You have character sheets. There'll be a trail. I'm going to write down cards and put them out. I also have a card here that tells me a little bit more about my chasers. The first card will be the crash. Each of you pick a token that's fairly unique that you can use to represent yourself, and pass me a few that don't look like that one. So these guys represent the chasers, and so basically, put all your tokens on the crash, and we're just going to work our way around the table. I'm going to write your cards as we get to each new location. So basically, this is a game about running. You're trying to get away from the chasers are following you. If they catch you, they can make you disappear forever. If you die or disappear forever, you join me over here with the DM seat and you take over part of the GM narration. So you're not out of the game, you just take a different role. And your character still has an end game. This is your character sheet. It has some basic instructions on when to pick up dice, and I'll go through that. It also has your name, your apparent age, any other brief description of like what you see when you look in the mirror, what you've got in your pockets, that sort of thing, because that's all you know, what you're dressed in. And then you've got your secrets, or questions, rather. There are six slots, and in a campaign or in a long game, we would play with six, but four. She specifically recommends for a con game or one-shot, four. The last thing is the risk sheet. So the risk sheet is over there, and that's where you place dice. Now, so basically, the rule is this. Whenever you do something, in the question, and there's a question about what the outcome will be, you roll dice. And the way you roll dice is, the first four dice are free. You're exceptional, so you get a die. You want to do something. You have a goal. You have to state what that goal is. I want to, you always phrase it, I want to blank. Mm-hmm. So don't spell out too much of how you do it, because who gets narration, there'll be different narration that goes along with that.
The end thing that you want to do is like, I don't want to shoot a bazooka at that tank. It's like, I want that tank to stop being my problem.
Yeah. This might trigger a memory. So anything you do might trigger a memory. The chasers might catch up. The chasers are always trying to catch up. And then here's the thing. If you're using your psychic power, then you're using your psi power, you get another die. And if you're risking harm, you get another die. On the sheet there at the top, once you roll dice, you'll always have one more die than the number of slots you need to fill. If you're just using your base four dice, you will fill the goal, whether or not you succeed in what you said you wanted to do, the reveal, whether or not you learn something about yourself, and either chase, capture, or disappear. Chase if the chasers are behind you, capture if they're in the same space as you, disappear if you've been captured. Okay? And the higher is better. Always. If you use your psychic power, you have to put a die in psi. Psi means the higher the die in psi, the less disturbance you cause with your power, the lower you cause calamity. And possibly harm to other people. Harm is yourself. If you do something that could potentially risk yourself, is anyone hurt? You put a die there, and higher again is better. If you put a one, you are dying. Although you do get to narrate that, so if you want to sort of narrate some sort of heroic sacrifice, you can do that. If you are injured, your first injury, and you'll take a counter, and you'll put it on I'm impaired. Remember I said you always roll one more die than you have? Well, the great thing about that is, so say I'm doing everything but putting myself at risk. I roll these dice, but I only have to place four. If you're impaired, you have to set one of the die aside, so you have to place all your dice. Mm. So if you roll a one, you have to put it somewhere. You have no choice. If you are doubly impaired, you roll all your dice, and then you put the highest one in the box. So it's terrible. You shouldn't. You can be healed through another character's action, and only through another character's action, or your own, I suppose. But preferably another character's. So, we got to get Bob to the hospital.
My goal is for Bob to stop dying.
You can be more specific. I want to do CPR on Bob or something like that. So, and if you succeed in your goal, then you will remove one or two harm from the character depending on what the fiction demands. So, you know, if somebody's had their leg blown off and you just make a tourniquet, you're probably not going to get rid of both impairments. Mm. You know. Harm can be emotional, but we're talking serious emotional harm. Like, you will be freaking out, you will be having a breakdown, you know, something that would actually impair you from acting.
Someone just explained what actually happened to your brother.
That actually would be really cool if it happened. And that's the great thing about playing with this particular group is we have a bunch of really creative people around here. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens. All right. So you've now seen all the sheets. You know what they all do. Mm-hmm. When you say, I want to go somewhere, if there's nothing stopping you from going somewhere, we just create another card and you go there. The party can split up. I would probably try to avoid it, but if it happens, it happens. I certainly wouldn't go more than two ways.
I'm assuming in transit is not a location, like, on the bus.
On the bus can be a location if it's relevant.
Okay.
You know? I mean, if it's just, I take the bus to Schenectady.
Well, no. It's more like, we have a bus, some of us get in the bus and go a place, but the bus also is moving around, so...
Yeah, if you got a bus, I think the destination at that point would be the thing, but if like there's a chance that like the chasers might catch up with you while you're on a Greyhound, then on the bus or on the train is actually a really good location.
But then we're just on the highway.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Yeah. But would it be on the bus or would it be on the highway?
It's entirely dependent on the fiction. Whatever makes the most sense.
On the bus, on the highway.
I mean, I want to basically just... the idea here is that don't worry too much about the mechanics. The fiction is the important thing. Mm. The other thing is, a new location is anywhere that is not immediately accessible from where you are. So, like, the next car of the train might be in a new location if it's difficult to get from one car to the other, right? Mm-hmm. So you could have a chase through a train where there's multiple cars. You know, the kitchen is not a new location if I can just walk into the kitchen. Mm-hmm. I might still be able to see someone in another location. Like, somebody's riding the glass elevator up to the top of the building. Well, I'm on the ground. That's a different location because I can't just get to the glass elevator. Although I can see the action that's going on. But in general, you can't affect... Well, I guess it doesn't really matter. You probably could affect things in other locations.
Separate.
Yeah.
Or, you know, cut the power at the power station.
So there's a whole bunch of stuff like backtracking. Don't. It's not designed to do that. Always run forward, basically. Run to something new. The game will work better if we do that.
Mm-hmm.
For this game, what's a side power? Your runners use their minds to affect the world in extraordinary ways. Runners may look completely normal in all aspects, but they have an extra something that makes them a target of interest, information, scorn, or exploitation. Runners can control stuff, move stuff, send stuff far beyond regular people. There's not a list of powers exactly, but, you know, you could think of any sort of broad side categories. You know, you could have things like clairvoyance, you know, telekinesis, dowsing, precognition, telepathy. So you don't say, I use telekinesis to back up my, you know, to increase my muscle strength. You say, I can lift 500 times my body weight. That's what I know about my power. Right? You say, so you don't know how it works. You don't know what you can do with it yet, because you might be able to do different things with it that you didn't think of. Mm. And that'll all come from, do you succeed at your goal? Does your power go crazy? That sort of thing. Mm. So who are you? You suffer from amnesia, you don't remember much about your personal past, you have flashes that come to you during stressful moments. If you know your runner's name, write it down. If you don't, don't. What's your power? When you create your runner, think about what powers you want. Can people tell what your power is by looking at you? What questions do you have about your power? Occasionally, in the game, other players determine things about your runner, leave space for cool, specific explanations to emerge in play. Think about the power's effect. My hand just passed through that chair, rather than explain the details of the power. When you look in the mirror, you see. So what would your runner see in a mirror? Write it down in your runner sheet. Put as many details as you like, apparent age, gender, coloring, body type, overall style, an impression of health or frailty, any physical clues to the side power. Sometimes it'll be very clear that you have special powers. I'm floating 2 feet above the ground, and sometimes it won't. I have questions. So the next thing you want to write down on your runner sheet is at least four and up to, well, it says up to six, but only four questions, things your runner is curious about. Don't think up the answers now. During play, the other players will answer these questions. Ready?
Go. So we're writing our name, age, powers, and
you're writing a name if you know
what I see in a mirror, and
what you would call yourself if you know your apparent age. What do you look like? What do you look like when you look in the mirror?
Mm-hmm.
And something about your power is sort of what do you notice about your power? But leave it open ended. Mm-hmm. Like, why did my hand just pass through that? Why am I floating? Why is my skin green? You know.
Mm-hmm. Can you give me just a really quick recap of the main question suggestions?
Okay. The main question, first question should be, well, at least one question about your powers.
Mm-hmm.
Did I learn to fly? What are these metal armbands, etc.?
So, powers.
At least one question about your powers. At least one question that refers to strengths, weaknesses, fears, mm-hmm. something like that. And then one question about your immediate past or current circumstances. Mm-hmm. But it can be very open. This game is very, very...
Yeah. No, that's good. That's just a recap for all that. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. No problem. So, let's run through everybody's characters. Blake, you are playing...
I don't actually remember my name, but I'm wearing a... army green colored jacket with a name tag that says Zaitsev on it. Though it says that in Russian, which I can read, but if you don't read Russian, it's just Cyrillic to you. Let's see here now. I've got short hair that you can tell used to be black, but it's mostly gray. Beard, not like a scraggly beard, but a full beard. The jacket is like the cuffs are burned. Like they'd been like I'd put my hands in fire, and it's got a lot of other like char marks on it, and it smells really smoky. And I'm sort of a heavy set guy, like, you know, in Russian.
Maybe.
Well, maybe, but, you know, I look like...
You can pass for Russian.
He's like Russian.
You can pass for his accent.
Russian, yeah. So he's apparently in his 50s, and my power is I can make things get cold.
Cool. All right.
Should I say my questions?
Yeah, why don't you read your questions?
My questions are, why do I smell like smoke? Where are my children? I can't stop asking myself. Why aren't I surprised I was in a crash? And is this my jacket?
All right, Duncan, you're playing.
People call me Egg.
Egg.
I look like I'm about 16, and I can move backward through time. And this is a picture of me that I drew. I've got weird tattoos on my face and no hair.
Move backward through time.
Yeah.
Damn.
That is how useful that'll be.
That is ambitious.
It is ambitious.
Or ambiguous.
Yeah. Or ambiguous. And my questions are, how can I get back to the beginning? Why am I afraid of my own reflection? Where did I get these tattoos? And who did I kill?
Nice. Joanna, you are playing...
I am playing Audra. She is 8, and she can get things to talk, like rocks and chickens, and everybody can hear them. It's not just me hearing stuff in my head. Everybody can hear when I make things talk. I am a scrawny little black girl with a huge poof of hair haloing her entire head, angry eyes and a serious set mouth, dressed in a simple little t-shirt and shorts with thin, cheap shoes on. And my questions are, why won't plastic stuff talk to me? Why do I get scared when I see circular openings? Where is this house I have a photo of? And why are the palms of my hands torn up?
Neat. What does the house look like? What does the photo look like?
It's like a quintessential... it's a small yellow house with a picket fence and bushes. There's a red car in a external Frank Lloyd Wright carport style deal. And there is a golden retriever sitting on the front lawn looking into the camera.
I'd have to be a golden retriever.
Yeah.
Nice. And Yanni, you are playing.
I am Richard. I'm mid-30s. I'm a pretty normal looking guy. Well-kempt, well-dressed, maybe a suit. Pretty nondescript. Like, it's not like fancy colors. No super flashy tie or anything. But I do have tattoos on my knuckles. The numbers 3142016.
How old is Egg, by the way? How's does Egg look like?
It looks like he's about 16.
So, my power is machines talk to me. So my first question is, why do machines talk to me? My second question is, am I human? Maybe I'm I don't know. The third is, what is wrong with my back?
Mm.
And the fourth is what do the numbers mean?
When you ask what is wrong with your back, how does it manifest to you? What do you feel? Just give me a little impression. Is there something physically like weird about your back, or is your back hurting you, or what is that?
People keep staring at it?
I hadn't really given it that much thought. I just figured, you know, that's the thing that, like, you usually can't see your own back. So yeah. knowing there's something wrong with it.
Does it feel funny?
Yeah, maybe it feels funny.
Okay, that's all. That's good enough. And you've got a shirt on, I assume.
Yeah.
So no one else can really see it.
And a jacket.
We'll find out. All right, so let's proceed. So the first scene is the crash. I'm gonna figure out. There's actually a thing for the first scene. So actually, we should figure out. I have to do the chaser. So we have to figure out what is the setting. From the setting, that it seems like you are likely somewhere in America, most likely. Do you have a preference for a location that is like in a city, on the coast, in the middle of nowhere, you know?
I think maybe semi-suburban.
Yeah, with the house and everything, maybe suburban makes sense.
Yeah.
So, suburban...
I'm thinking deep south.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Just throwing things out.
I'll take it.
So, the crash then is either going to be a could be a plane, could be a train, could be a bus, could be a some sort of a car. Do you guys have a preference for that?
I like trains.
Yeah, I was going to say, I like trains.
Train as well. All right.
A train crash can be nice and huge with, you know, lots of other, like, victims and perhaps chemical spills.
Ooh, that's good. That's good. All right. I think we're ready to go then. Let's talk about the chasers. And I think the look of the... It's good for Deep South. So there's a few, like... There's a few sort of archetype chasers. There's the, like, shady corp... There's a city sort of city shady corporate. There's the, like...
Military guys.
Military guys. There's alien something. There's, like...
Police.
Yeah. Although police aren't gonna... Well, it depends how far you go. You know, it could be some sort of, like, weird, like, terrorist organization or something like that. It could be a lot of different things. Like, I'm thinking what works well in, like, rural Deep South?
Well, I like the idea of actual, like, apparently local police.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so their look is local police.
Sheriffs and deputies.
Yeah, yeah, Officer Opie.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thought I told you, but maybe, and you were saying, underneath. Well, those guys' jurisdiction is limited, just like, as far as you're supposed to be.
Theoretically.
No, you can always have unmarked detectives, too.
Hmm. Unmarked detectives?
Unmarked.
I'm reminded of,
unmarked cars, but...
I'm reminded of Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? You ever seen Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? The man with the sunglasses, the devil.
Yeah, yeah, that's always
big empty eyes.
Yeah. So I think their method is to apprehend under the, you know, the alleged force of the law.
Yeah.
Alleged.
And I think their technology appears to be standard police issue.
Mm-hmm. That's a human institution.
Yep.
Such a great line. I love hyper-efficient short sentences like that. That's a human institution. It's just, that is a novel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need to rewatch that movie. It's been too long.
You guys all come to in a what looks like an empty, like one of those empty steel, like, freight, like, what top, what,
boxcars?
Yeah, but the cargo container.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to change the why am I surprised it was in a crash. Why am I surprised to be in this situation?
Okay, that's
like the
fine.
Whole Psy running sure. situation.
Yeah.
So
I don't like that because the answer to that is obvious that I caused the crash.
There are several other people in here with you. Some of them are dressed as police officers. Some of them are just sort of random people. None of them have any real right to be inside of a container car. Some of them appear to be dead. Some of them, maybe you're not so sure. There's a gash in the side of the car. The car's on its side, and there's a gash in the side of the car, sort of on the top, that's letting in some light so you can see. So it appears to be daytime outside, I guess, for what it's worth. So you all have heard your descriptions of each other. Miraculously, you four are unharmed, or maybe only slightly harmed. What do you do? This might be just a time you can, like, just free roleplay until something interesting happens.
Egress. I go for the gap immediately.
It's going to be... It's about 8 feet up, and the edges are jagged. There might be another way out, or you can try to go straight up through the gap. You want to go straight up through the gap?
No, I'm probably going to go for an entrance at either end of the rail car. If it's like the ceiling, I can't jump very high.
So you see, you see Zaitsev, this sort of slightly portly, middle-aged guy with a beard, look up, kind of reach up, and he starts looking around. What do the rest of you do?
Can Can I ask a question? Mm-hmm. Are we the only ones conscious?
Like, you are the only one. You are currently the only ones conscious.
Fabulous.
You hear sort of groaning from under a pile of bodies at the other end of the the freight car.
Okay, good.
I want to try and like look for some keys, maybe on one of these people dressed like cops.
Sure. Does anyone else? I mean, you're all sort of standing around. You notice there's like each of you notices there's three other people sort of up and around, and this sort of bald tattooed teenager is now starting to rifle through the pockets of one of the dead police officers, looking for something. Evidently,
I don't think you should do that. He's gonna wake up. Don't.
He might have keys. What?
Fine. I don't know.
If he's locked in here with us, why would he have keys?
Maybe he locked himself in here with us.
Did he?
I don't know. Is the door locked?
I'm at the door. Is the door locked?
The door to the train is not locked, but it is slightly jammed. Like clearly the it's not locked from the outside, but you move it a little and it like the metal grinds, like it's stuck.
Not locked.
No, but you find a gun.
Nice.
I mean, 'cause he was a cop.
Right in the back.
I attempt to bust the door open.
This is an action, so take four. So you want to force the door open. And I think this is an action through which you might hurt yourself.
Okay.
Are you intending to use your psi power at all?
No.
Okay, roll five dice. Good roll.
That's pretty good.
You placed four.
All right, I haven't actually read what all these things do yet, so give me a second here.
The goal is you succeed at your goal or fail at your goal.
Well.
The reveal. Do you learn something about yourself? We have 5-5-5...
I can't even avoid it.
We have 5-5-5-6 are the rolls to use here.
Alright. Harm.
Chase. Do the chasers catch up?
Yeah. Actually, I guess all these are... The only one in which a 6 would be more relevant than a 5 is that one, but I kind of don't want the...
You want other people to figure it out.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I should take it while the getting's good. It's not like it's going to happen a lot.
It's really more fun this way. But it's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, we have a 5 in goal. You succeed at forcing the door open. A 5 in harm. You do not suffer any harm or impairment. We have a 6 in reveal and a 5 in chase. The chasers do not catch up. Therefore, I will not narrate anything for the chasers catching up. Does the 5 in the goal succeeding...
it achieves the goal. GM has first say.
I have first say. And then the runner is unhurt. You have first say in how you are unhurt. So is there a special way that you throw your shoulder into the door or something like that to prevent yourself from, you know, hurting yourself? Is this something you've done before?
No, I'm just a big guy, so I know I can use my weight for it. And I'm trying to think how I can... I'm trying to think which of these I could possibly reveal somehow through knocking open
a
door.
Well, yeah, actually, that's interesting. How does that relate to it?
Ah. No.
I was going to actually offer to help open the door, just as a good idea. If there's...
No, it's... So let's actually say that that Richard is sort of he sort of sees Zaitsev trying to force the door open, walks over there, but Zaitsev just knocks himself through the door. The thing swings open with that.
Would it be?
And actually goes because it actually opens down.
Hey, yeah. Would it be too broad to describe what I see on the outside once I open the door?
I don't. Necessarily, you can. I have first say, but you can certainly add details.
Okay, well, because this was going to be the reveal, actually.
Tell me what it is then.
Okay, I know where my kids are. They're on the part of the train that is moving away from where we are right now, unharmed.
Okay, I like that. So, evidently, this was a train with mixed cars. Or no, maybe not. Maybe it was a it was entirely freight, but you but suddenly way, know is, I your just kids. Not... You see off in the distance. You see.
Well, no, I don't. I just see the train, and I'm like, oh right, they're on the train.
They're on that. They're yeah. They're in that car.
But this was the frontmost car of the back of the train, and the rest of the train went on without us.
Yeah. So, actually, I'm gonna actually amend that slightly. There was one car in between you.
Okay.
But it is a mangled, torn to shreds mess. Okay. Actually, two wheels of the car in front of you, and not much else, are still on the linkage of the train that's speeding away, skipping a little on the tracks and sparking as they go.
So it wasn't a separation between cars.
No.
It was a separation in the midst of a car.
In the midst of a car. And something completely obliterated the car there. So there's just nothing but twisted metal and little splotches of red and little bits of white where maybe bones are sticking out. Mm. Yeah. But that's another card. Outside.
No, I think I'm going to...
Which one is you?
I turn back through the door and say, well, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll follow.
I go up to the door and I latch onto it because I'm only 8.
I'll help you. And it's hard
because my hands are messed up.
I'll help you out.
You grab me by the wrists and haul me up.
All right. So you are outside standing in a wreck of twisted metal on some train tracks in what looks like... Well, okay, it's day. It's actually, like, early afternoon, but judging by the sun, there are, like, all sorts of, like, it's that sort of, like, mixture of subtropical trees that tells you you're in the south, like Alabama or Georgia or Mississippi or something like that. It's not, like, swamp or anything like that, but it's, you know, the willows and, like,
right.
You know, magnolia trees and things like that. But it's, like, fairly, like, it's just train tracks with, like, brush around, basically. And, you know, off in the distance you see, like, the end of a train sort of speeding away and rounding a bend.
They'd probably be throwing the brakes.
Would they?
Oh, I guess not. I guess it depends. If not, it'd be for a reason. Like, when you're on a train, you can tell when, you know, half of the train explodes. And you probably, and if you're just a regular old garden variety train conductor, you would throw the brakes.
So
if
they're
not, there must be a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would actually sort of answer your question with a question. And that question would be, why would a whole bunch of people be in cargo containers on a freight train?
Mm.
I mean, that's the more interesting question, perhaps.
Right.
Yeah.
Why do you know so much about trains?
That was an out of context comment.
Okay. Oh,
sorry.
Doesn't okay. have to be.
Yeah.
You think you catch a little, at the edge of your hearing, like a police siren in the distance or something like that. For some reason, it fills you with a little bit of a sense of dread. What do you do?
Is there any apparent, signs of civilization besides the tracks?
Let's see, would there be? You can't really tell through the trees. Not from where you're standing, no.
We should probably get out of here. I don't know.
Do you know why? Just a feeling?
I'm with you, okay.
I don't want to be here when they show up. I don't want to be here when they wake up.
Yeah.
Does he still have that gun? Does he still have that gun?
Yeah,
I don't have a gun.
You hear something moving inside the...
That was an out of... I'm sorry. Yeah. This is why I don't like first-person stuff, because I wanted to say... Because does my character see that he still has a gun? Because I wasn't looking when you took it.
Then ask that question.
Oh.
Just ask that question.
Does my character see? Okay.
Not if he doesn't want you to.
Okay.
You hear something moving inside the container. You can see there's actually, like, a couple of coal cars that are just filled with coal behind that one, just sitting on the tracks. And, you hear something moving around. You hear voices from inside the...
Well, that's it. I'm going.
I suggest we not put it.
Scrabble off the door and drop myself to the ground.
I make for the direction of the thickest nature.
Yeah.
Thickest nature.
I follow him.
Yeah.
Because he's strong.
You hear a shout from inside the thing. Well, let's just actually say that who's going to have the most difficult time getting through the woods, you think? You. All right. Why don't you... This is a thing that's potentially dangerous for you. You might get harmed or left behind. Actually, you know what? You won't get harmed because what are you really going to... Like, an 8-year-old is really going to hurt themselves that badly tripping over a root or something. You just fall down.
Yeah.
But it is going to be difficult for you to keep up with the rest of them.
Yes.
So why don't you make that roll 4 dice. Unless you want to use your psychic powers.
No, I mean, I don't think that my psychic powers can particularly be applicable to walking quickly.
Well, it's walking quickly with, potentially with people like...
Following you. I don't know, let's just do this for now. Okay. Let's see.
I roll nearly as bad as...
Mine was good.
As his was good. We have a 1, 2, 3, 5.
But she's only got to do 3 of them, right? Because harm's not an issue and size's not an issue?
Yep, you only need 3.
Forget that one. Although that doesn't really make a difference. One of them's going to be bad. I'll go ahead and put the 2 on my reveal to say that it does not remind me of anything, at least.
You can put the 3 on the chase. We'll actually get to see the chasers. And then 5 on the goal so you succeed.
Yeah, I'll say that. Okay. I would rather move through the underbrush than...
The reveal is kind of your bad roll sink.
Yeah.
Since a poor reveal doesn't kill you.
It's true facts.
Subdivision.
So, meanwhile... Back at the... Oh, wait. So, who has first say on each of those things?
Chase. This one, goal is GM has first say. The reveal is player has first say. And chase is... GM has first say.
Oh, I think the chase, the GM always has first say. Is there anything you want to say about not remembering something? Like, you think maybe there's something that sort of reminds you of something, but then you can't quite put your finger on it, or...
Yeah, it's really hot and humid. And that's a feeling that, like, in the car, it was very, very dry and a little bit chilly with all the metal. Strangely, it should be hot, but it wasn't. And then once we get out into the woods, it's sort of moist and humid and hot. And that's familiar, but I don't know why.
And so you're scrambling over roots and, like, dashing bushes through. Unfortunately, the canopy of trees is thick enough here that there's actually not a whole lot of underbrush. So you're sort of scrambling through...
Downed logs.
Yeah, basically. Like that. And then sort of try to keep the rest of them in sight. Mm-hmm. And the rest of them sort of hit you sort of all pour out into the backyard of somebody's McMansion. So it's like one of those, 3,000 square foot, 4-bedroom, 3-bath houses with like all the gables and the weird brick and stone all over them. And it looks like there's a whole bunch of them and they're all really close together. Mm-hmm. So you're all in the subdivision. Meanwhile, coming up along the trail, like, cause you know, there's like a lot of times there'll be like cleared space on either side of a railway track. One of those brown, like, county sheriff's cars with the lights on and the sirens on pulls up next to the,
crash train,
and a man, slightly portly, middle aged, but something about his face—the skin is a little too taut.
Gotta have the mirrored sunglasses.
What?
Gotta have the mirrored sunglasses.
Totally has the mirrored sunglasses.
Aviator glasses.
Yeah.
Shoulders his way out of the driver's seat, kind of,
shifts his toothpick from one side to the other.
Yeah. There you go. And meanwhile, on the other side of the car, a 20-something woman, in a slightly ill-fitting, sheriff's deputy uniform, although it's a little too tight, and she's a little too hot for it, gets out of the car, and, she sort of nervously fingers her, the holster on her hip where the gun is. The sheriff has heavy looking like a police rifle, almost like a military grade rifle in his hands. Yells out, "Anybody in there?" And there's some like shouting from inside, and another police officer, maybe a city police officer, something like that, like climbs up over the maybe a statey, actually. Statey climbs up over, like, the lip of the thing. Says, "Oh, God, I'm so glad to see you." And at that point, the sheriff raises his gun and blows the guy away. And I think we'll cut scene there. So, you guys are all at, like, you're standing in back of this McMansion. There's a whole bunch of other, like, very large cookie-cutterish houses near there. You're in somebody's backyard. There's a dog chained, like on one of those, like, runner lines between two trees in the backyard. And it's like... But, it's the middle of the day, and as far as you can tell, nobody else is home. What do you do?
I go talk to it. The dog.
Hey.
Hey!
Hey.
Where are we?
Do you have food?
I don't have food. I have a picture. I don't have food. You can't eat my picture. Where are we?
The house.
Okay. Where are your people?
Woman is inside. Man is not here. Children are not here.
Is woman nice? Is she a mommy?
Yeah, she feeds me. She's nice.
Okay, I'll go talk to her. You be good.
Okay. Who are you guys?
And I just go towards the house and forget them.
Hey,
why don't you tell the dog that we're friends?
They're friends.
Can we talk to the dog too?
The dog, yeah. Dog
can talk now.
Dog can talk now.
Oh, forever or just while you're talking?
We don't know. That's a good question.
Hello, dog.
Hey,
do not be alarmed by what is about to happen.
You smell funny.
Wait, you guys heard the dog too?
Yeah.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi. You smell funny too. Are you strangers?
No,
I guess.
Nah, we're not. We're totally normal.
No.
Sit. Calm down. That's what I thought. I go in the back door of the house.
So you wander in. The back door is unlocked. You wander in, and there we're not. This will happen just a moment later. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There is a woman there with probably a little bit too much makeup and hair that really shouldn't have been straightened, but is. And she turns around and screams.
I scream back.
At this point, you hear screaming. You walk into the house and see a, you know, probably woman in her late 20s, early 30s.
I thought I went in the house first.
No, she talked to the dog and then went right in. Yeah.
Okay.
And they're just sort of staring at each other and screaming.
Yeah.
I'm going to run up and attempt to, like, cover the woman's mouth with my hand and, like, kind of manhandle her, you know, like...
Okay, yeah, that's a thing. Sure. Yeah, that doesn't seem like a thing that could cause harm, necessarily.
Yeah.
Unless she's, like, a badass of some kind.
She's just a southern housewife.
I shrink behind the door as he comes in after me.
Excellent.
Lay low. Yeah.
I don't feel like getting chased. I do feel like succeeding.
No reveals.
Yeah.
Yeah, 6, 6, and 2. So 2 and
yeah, I don't feel like revealing another memory that quick. I'm like, quiet. Hush. Car keys. We're stealing your car. You're not stopping us.
What?
We need wheels.
That's right.
So then you guys have piled into the house?
We gotta, move.
And you see.
All right. I let her go and go get the keys.
Okay. Here's an interesting thing. Do you know how to drive?
I don't know. I know I need a car.
The keys are hanging on a hook by the front door.
Mm.
All of a sudden you hear agitated barking from the back as you go to get the keys, and, So you grab the keys off the hook and, you know, go into the garage, basically, because you figure that's where the car is likely to be. And there's a big old SUV sitting in there.
Right.
And
I try to badger everyone else into joining me. Yeah. It's like, I suggest you come along.
I scramble.
Like, with the quickness.
I call shotgun.
I call driving. I know how to drive.
Sounds fair.
I'm calling 911!
That is a bad idea for you, lady.
Please.
Open the garage door and...
I flip down the visor and see if there's a garage door opener.
I'm just scrambling into the back seat and hunkering down, like, in between
pull it
the
out.
Seats.
Please, dead. Open for us.
I'm out of batteries. You might be able to talk it into...
Just drive really hard.
Power.
You need one more.
Yeah, admittedly... Oh, I guess you don't have to roll every time you use your psi power.
No, only when the outcome would be interesting.
Okay.
Only when failure would be interesting.
Because admittedly, the dog could have been like, fuck you!
I could have totally done that. I just chose not to.
Yeah, yeah.
This is more interesting.
That's the way I imagine dogs react.
1-1-1-4-6.
You are in danger!
Alright, so... I need goal...
You could fail at your goal. These are fairly terrible options.
What's a 1 on psi? Oh, somebody dies?
No. 1 on psi is his power goes fucking
wild.
Haywire.
Right, and then it says people die.
Well, yeah, people die. It's something that would make national news.
GM has first say.
I do.
Mm-hmm. God.
How much do you trust me?
1/10 of the population is dead.
So I think...
There you go. Oh. That is the right answer.
Yeah.
Escape this garage.
So, 1 in goal.
Well, I'm not... I think it's so long.
We can drive through the garage door.
That's, yeah. There are other ways to get out of a garage. With a car.
I'll shoot my way out.
Yeah. You shoot it in the submission.
I don't have a gun, though.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with that.
All right. So,
Everything is GM has first say.
So the first thing is that I think so. The reveal doesn't happen. Is there anything that reminds you of? I guess we can say that after the actions, the chase. Chasers do not catch up. Mm-hmm. There's no need to have any kind of scene there. Your psi power goes wild. GM has first say. Power surge.
People may be injured. Things broken.
Shoot the dog. Long's gone.
No. Nobody shot the fucking
dog.
No,
I was trying to decide where to put the dice. We haven't.
So, alright. Your psi power goes crazy. I have first say. I'm going to say that, like, as you sort of, like, tell it, like, no. And then the SUV starts talking to you, like, want to drive. The engine starts up on its own, like, and then, like, the garage door thing, this thing starts flickering, is like, you hear, like, all sorts of weird noise from outside, and, like, so, the,
Maybe if there's a second car, it starts up, too.
Oh, I think all the cars in the neighborhood start up, and some of them just drive in whatever random gear they're in or decide to be in. And so, like, you hear crashing and smashing from outside. You hear, like house of cars.
Is like, oh, the door.
Car alarm's
keeping
going
me
up.
In.
Today, revenge!
So you actually get to dictate about how you don't achieve your goal. So what? If there's anything relevant there, other than it doesn't, like, you know, immediately jump through the door.
I think my goal was to get out with the car unsmashed and
fair enough.
You know, drive off in a nondescript manner.
So,
the door opener tries its best, but. Isn't fast enough for how impatient the SUV is.
Oh, can I add something? The SUV and the garage door like mechanism are having an argument now.
Mm-hmm.
Like he said, "You never let me out." Like, of course not. I have to keep this house secure. Let me go.
I must protect this house.
I must protect this house.
But I feel like the SUV like. Gets
so the engine starts to grumble and like it kind of makes these protesting sounds.
Who's in the driver's seat? You are?
Yeah.
You're going to have to... I think you're going to have to, like... just drive out through that door.
Yeah, no. I totally was expecting that.
And I think that's another roll. And you might get hurt this time.
Okay.
So anyways, So you're like... What do you say to it? What do you do? Do you just throw it in gear and just drive through the door?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I think it's more of I will disengage the parking brake before like it damages anything too bad.
It's an automatic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not about to drop its own transmission. So,
like,
you go to shift it. It's like, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Oh, we can.
I won't let you out. roll 5 dice.
5 dice.
And may God have mercy on your soul.
It's driving time.
It's driving time.
So the fifth is for harm, not yep. Psy?
Harm.
Okay.
Yeah. Unless he wants to use Psy some more.
Yeah.
I think you've done all the damage you can do here.
Yeah. I can... Maybe I can convince it to be pals now that I'm flitted out.
All right, fine, go.
We went through the garage door a little bit.
We're in this together.
If you listened to me, we would have made it out without getting your windshield all scratched up.
Well, that's a much better roll.
Is it? It's almost a straight.
2, 3, 4, 5, 5?
Yeah.
Is that what that is?
Yeah,
there you go.
For many of these things, a 5 is as good as a 6.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where are you trying to go, by the way? Where do you intend to go? Just out of here?
I want us to follow the train. Figure out where the train was going and get to its next destination.
I was just thinking as far as away from the police.
We'll figure this out between. We'll figure this out in the interim.
So
I can't get caught by the police.
No harm to you. A remarkably smooth crash.
Like butter.
It's like a garage door. It's largely psychological.
It's true.
The runners may have caught up a little bit.
So when runner is hurt, that is, if it says player is first, say he decides which runner is hurt.
Harm always happens to you, typically.
Oh, okay. Mm.
So he decides how he is hurt by his action.
So hard.
Don't think too hard about it then.
Okay.
I don't want to be here all night.
Yeah. Well, the question is, where do I put the 5?
I think you put the 3 in chase, not the 4.
I think you probably want the 5 in goal. Or a 4 in goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the 4 can get you past the goal, whereas 4 and 3 are the same in chase.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's...
let's not destroy everything forever.
Yeah.
All right, well...
Once we're on the road, the car is a lot more compliant.
Like I said, reveal is your low roll sync.
Mm-hmm. It turns out that the door was what we like to call contractor grade. And therefore, it came apart real quick with a no from the door opening mechanism.
My rusty hinges!
As you burst through out onto the street, only mostly scuffing the hood of the SUV, you see, like, a couple of other houses have, like, smoke rising from them, and, like, there's a crash car in it against a tree and stuff like that. But for the most part, the road is clear. You sort of, like, skid out onto the street. I have first say when you succeed here. Is there anything interesting you want to say about that, or about harm, or about the reveal? Anything you are almost reminded of, but not?
Maybe I didn't really realize cars could talk to me until I decided I wanted to talk to cars. But now I'm more curious. Not really anything revealed.
Alright, so... You're sort of, I'm going to call this area on the local roads, which so we can have action while you're driving around,
mm-hmm.
or you know, in the SUV, whatever. So back at the thing, the cop and the sheriff and the deputy pile back into the car. You know, you sort of see one of the guys picking up his radio, and then there's the sound of like distant car alarms and house alarms going off. And they, like, the engine, like, and the car sort of takes a 3-point turn and goes back along the railroad tracks to, I guess, where wherever the last crossing would be. You guys are driving along, and you sort of, like, you're not quite sure where you're going. You're just kind of trying to find your way. And it's one of those subdivisions with all the cul-de-sacs. So you're kind of, like, confused and a little bit lost. And as you're turning a corner...
a little kid on a bike comes out in front of the car, and you run him over. What do you do?
I see that you asked. I want to be here about 2 minutes ago.
I like that. Make with the dice.
Am I risking harm?
No, okay. I don't think you are.
There's no danger of him being the kid on the bike.
It's always possible.
Nice. Oh, crushed.
Destroyed.
Six.
Main.
Five, four.
Ooh, do six. You get a fancy thing. Well, maybe not.
Well, whatever he wants to do.
That's true.
I mean,
I don't mean to heckle.
Six is gonna go somewhere.
Yeah, they're all successes. The question is, do you want to dictate your own reveal, or do you want some other people to dictate your reveal? That's really your only choice there.
Yeah.
I suppose you could put the four in something just to be a dick, but...
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, rub it in.
All right.
For the benefit of our listening audience, he's just replaced the five on goal with a four.
Which has exactly the same effect. So you succeed in your goal, and I say how you do that. You get a reveal, but the other players have first say. The chasers do not catch up, and your psi power causes no difficulty. So I'm going to describe how I'm going to describe what happens first, and I think then we can figure out which one of your questions gets answered.
Okay.
So you're just standing there on the sidewalk. You said 2 minutes earlier?
Yeah.
Okay. There is a distant sound of a car alarm going off, a little boy is with a bike helmet and everything like that on a little tiny bike, probably about like seven, is like riding around. Like he's actually got like training wheels on, and he's just kind of like riding up and down the street, you know, kind of doing circles. He rides up onto the sidewalk, up in the grass. You watch him. What do you do?
Hey, kid, come over here.
Who are you?
I'm Egg. It's a cool bike you got there.
Egg, what kind of a name is that?
I don't know.
You're weird.
I got no hair.
You look weird. Are you a stranger?
Yeah, I guess.
No. I'm not supposed to talk to strangers.
Not a stranger.
I need to go see my mom.
Okay. Where does she live? Like, that way?
In the house. Yeah. No, I'm not supposed to tell you where I live. And he, like, gets on his bike... And he, like, just drives up the driveway, stops the bike, and, like, runs into the house.
Nice.
At this point, an SUV comes, like, tooling around the corner. And, like, you see Egg standing outside the SUV.
Is he gone from inside the SUV?
And then you look over and he's not there anymore.
Hang on. Man overboard.
I'll walk up. Just stop for a second. We'll be back on the road in no time.
I open the door and get back in.
What in the hell was that?
There's a kid in the road. There was another kid in the road. It's okay. He's not there anymore.
I wasn't in the road.
Clearly.
That's right. Well, you're a good kid.
All right. So the three of you... Why don't you read your questions and the three other people get to decide which one of them they answer.
How can I get back to the beginning? Why am I afraid of my own reflection? Where did I get these tattoos? And who did I kill?
Tough to see a way that this works on any of those to me.
Well, it could just be something that comes back to him.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't have to be like something specifically triggers the memory, although if you can work that in, that's great.
So, tell me a story about these tattoos. I see lines and like loops. Is it all one line? I see two dots on it.
It's just like here, mm-hmm. down around the back of my head, and there's the line that goes over the eye, and then there's loops that go around like that, like kind of concentric on this side, and then bars that mm-hmm. wrap around.
How about this? What if the tattoo is his lifeline. It's all one line, and he goes from the it has a beginning and an end.
And every time he goes back in time, it shifts it in some kind of
demonstrate the use of the power.
Yeah, until it covers your whole head, and then
or maybe it splits.
Yeah, or it's
like every time he uses
it cuts those sideways bars or the cut like
it cuts and makes a loop.
Yeah,
when he's done when he's gone back and gone in a loop.
Yeah.
Okay, sounds cool.
Yeah. So now you have to redraw your picture.
So they're part of your power.
There you go.
So where did I get the tattoos? They.
I guess it doesn't answer the question on point. But
no, it's fine though. That's a fine answer.
They form as a side effect of use of the power.
Mm-hmm.
As you might have guessed, that's not the end of the story. But if you want to find out what happens, you're going to have to tune in next week for episode 2 of Cyron.
This podcast is fully copyrighted by its hosts. Visit us at podcastmagicmissile.com. iPodcast Magic Missile, attacking the darkness since 2012.